Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, I'm George Takei. A bill recently approved by a Tennessee Senate committee would prohibit teachers in that state from discussing homosexuality in the classroom. The so-called Don't Say Gay law is premised on the misguided belief that by not talking about gay people, they can simply make us disappear. I'm here to tell Tennessee and all LGBT youth and teachers who would be affected by this law that I am here for you. In fact, I'm lending my name to the cause. Anytime you need to say the word gay, you can simply say Takei. For example, you could safely proclaim you are a supporter of Takei marriage. If you're in a more festive mood, you can march in a Takei pride parade. Even homophobic slurs don't seem as hurtful if someone says, "That is so Takei." And around the holidays, you can sing, "Don we now our Takei apparel." Speaking of apparel, I've created a t-shirt. It's okay to be Takei. I hope you wear it proudly. We also have buttons, mouse pads, and mugs, all in time for Takei Pride Month, and all proceeds go to charity. Thank you. And as they say on the Flintstones, have a Takei old time.
It's okay to be Takei. It's okay to be Takei.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And I think that in honor of George Takei, I'm gonna designate this Takei Day. Mark Munger, who's in the studio filling in for Heather Fry today. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I think it's in honor of all those people who actually, you know, and I don't want to go into this, the world ending thing, that whole thing. I'm so sick of it already.
I was banking on that, you know.
See, but that's the point. Yeah, I mean, the jokes don't work anymore, Mark.
It's no joke. I'm tired this morning.
My feeling is the people who really thought that was going to happen are the kind of people who would be upset by the George Takei thing. So, yeah. I don't know how that sort of that works together.
You're combining these two things. It's all new conspiracy.
Exactly. So, you know, my feeling is the people who thought that they weren't going to, well, they were going to wake up in heaven today, are going to be really honked off by the George Takei thing.
Where are they wrong?
I'm going to say just a word about it, and then we're moving on, and never mention it again. Why was there so much media time devoted to this when the country's going to hell in a handbag?
It was unbelievable. It was all anybody was talking about.
I know. We talk about Trump, the idiot. Yeah. We talk about this moron with his end of the world prophecy. We talk about all the stupid stuff, and yet we have our schools are failing, and we got the president talking about abandoning no, whatever the hell that is, program, No Child Left Behind. And they've been totally left behind. That's the irony of it, because the whole thing is predicated not on learning, but on learning how to take a test. Mm-hmm. A completely different skill. Now, when you were in school, Mark, were you a test taker or a non-test taker? I mean, when you walked into a room, you went, oh, this is good. I can handle tests.
Yeah, I can't wait for this test. It was just the greatest day of my life.
Really? You're a test guy?
I hated it. Oh, okay. It was the worst.
But there are people, there are kids who like tests. And this is, they stink in class and they don't do their homework and they show up and they ace these tests. Now, how much have they learned? What do they know? And the idea that we're taking the whole country down that path, our whole educational system. I know people in the who write tests, educational tests. I know people who work in the industry, and they're appalled. They're appalled at this, and the educational industry is going down the tubes too. I can tell you some of the garbage that comes out of there because I know people who work in it.
Mm-hmm. And then recently, what they're talking about, like, oh, some I hear some people saying that 40 students in the class is okay, and that won't affect learning.
Oh no, that's fine. 50, yeah. 60? Come on.
Who cares?
You know?
Just pack them in.
Shoehorns. We need bigger shoehorns for our schools.
Yeah. they have to learn, each student has to learn less to cumulatively learn the same.
Well, just teach the stuff on the tests. You know, forget the rest. You don't need kids to actually learn how to learn how to be smart. No. Just get them to take a test. Get them to figure out how to take a test. Anyway, good morning. It's the Mike Novak Show. And wow. It's spring. Isn't that nice?
Gorgeous. The birds were singing at 6 a.m.
Woohoo. They woke me up. We got a rooster on our block, which is, I think, pretty illegal. But I think it's kind of cool. It's goofy is what it is, you know. And the stupid thing just crows all day long. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
What else is a rooster going to do?
I know. Well, I know what else a rooster is going to do, but that's it. It's like, well, no, there's three. There's eat and crow, and then the other thing with chickens, but
the other thing, take them out.
And the other reason I did the George Takei thing at the beginning of the show today is because Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal comedy tour is coming to Chicago. She's going to be broadcasting from the Pride Parade, the 2011 Chicago Pride Parade. I noticed they don't call it. Go ahead, Mark. They don't call it the Gay Pride Parade anymore. They just call it the Pride Parade, but. We all know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And she's here going to be at the Chicago Theater on Saturday, June 25th. And there's a rumor that some of us on the weekend might actually do the warm-up act for her. You know, maybe somebody from this show, maybe somebody from Mighty House, somebody's from our town. One never knows. So, any rate, that's all coming up. On today's show, jam-packed as always, and I hope you stick around. And if you can't catch the whole thing, catch the podcast at MikeNovak.net. You can Facebook us. You can tweet us. Write to me, Mike@MikeNovak.net. That's NOWAK. We're going to start today with Dr. Earth himself, Milo Shamus. He's written a book called Healthy Garden, Healthy You. We might actually give some of those away today. And then at 9:30, it is not Rick DeMaio weather. It is Pat Skatch. And he's filling in. And he's a buddy of Rick DeMaio. And he's going to give us our weather forecast for the week. Jen Walling, who is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council, starts the second hour. A lot of laws in Springfield right now. I'm always amazed at how little the average person knows about what's going on in Springfield. And then these things become law. And we go, well, what will happen? Well, because we cover things like the end of the world and, you know, Donald Trump and things like that. No offense, but the Bulls and things like that. But there's a lot of laws in the hopper right now, and Jen Walling will be on the show to talk about those. And then Lamanda Joy from the Peterson Garden Project, which is having its fundraiser next week. If you don't know it, it's become the largest community garden in the city of Chicago. I've been out there. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to host their fundraiser. I'll be the MC guy next Thursday, May 26th. We're going to talk about that with LaManda Joy. So all on the show today. With that, let us go to line one and bring in my buddy, Milo Seamus. Milo, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's been too long. I'm doing very well.
Aw, you miss me, huh?
Believe it or not, I actually do. Yes.
Good. Hey, listen, the first thing I got to tell you, and by the way, Milo Seamus, do you associate yourself as Dr. Earth? Do you mind it when people call you Dr. Earth, or do you say, no, I'm the founder of Dr. Earth? How do you like that?
You know, I'm honored because people really don't even know me by Milo. When I walk into trade shows or a lot of different venues, they just say, hey, there's Dr. Earth.
Hey, Dr. Earth. Yeah.
I'm fine. Either way, whatever you want to call me, Mike, as long as you're calling me, I'm happy.
As long as I don't call you late for breakfast because it's 7 o'clock in are you in L.A. today?
No, I'm in Northern California.
Oh, you're in Northern California. Okay. Uh-huh. Is that where you live?
I live just outside of UC Davis.
Ah, okay. All right. So, but you're still 2 hours earlier than we are here. But I'll bet your morning isn't as nice as ours today. It is so beautiful in Chicago this morning. It is just gorgeous.
I spoke with our gal who lives in Chicago, Lisa Grant.
Yes.
She told me that the weather is just phenomenal. She's thrilled. And I am too, because I know you guys have been, you guys had a really, really hard winter, and it's about time that Mother Nature begins to cooperate and allow the gardeners to go outside and play. So I'm very happy for you guys.
It's about time. It has been a brutal, brutal spring here in Chicago, I will just say Dr. Earth, of course, is a proud sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, and I'm proud to have you as a sponsor in the interest of full disclosure. But Milo has written a new book called Healthy Garden, Healthy You, The Best Garden of Your Life, 100 Easy-to-Grow Plants and Their Health Benefits. As I'm reading through the thing, I'm thinking, how long did this take you to put together?
This was a good five-year work. And, Mike, I tell a really good joke, I think. And you know, a lot of people say, gosh, if you can survive a remodel with your wife, you know, you're pretty well-founded. You're going to make it. A remodel ain't got nothing on writing a book. I mean, you know, just the fact that my wife is still with me is an amazing thing, because it takes literally thousands and thousands of hours. And you know me, I'm still running a company, Mike. I've still got to go to work every morning, run Dr. Earth all day long. So I was waking up at 3 in the morning, writing from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m., making it to the office, then coming home, being a good husband, a good son-in-law, tucking everybody in, and then I'd write from about 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock. So, I mean, you know, and that was about just the last year, but I was really pushing about 8-9 hours a day writing, and then working 8 or 9 hours a day, and then sleeping 3 to 4 hours. That was just the last year. But, yeah, a good 5 years worth of really hard work and just time and energy and effort. And,
that's an amazing story. But a lot of people do the same thing. They don't often take 5 years to write a book. But I can understand why, because it's... Hello? Did we lose Milo? Hello? All right, we're gonna fix that. Milo Seamus. Was it something I said? All right, we'll get him back. Let's take care of some business before we get back to Milo Seamus, who is Dr. Earth, and we're talking about his new book, Healthy Garden, Healthy You. By the way, if you've got questions, because he tells you how to grow all kinds of things, this is the time, 773-838-9278. We're going to give away some of these books, too. So give us a good question. We'll give you a copy of Healthy Garden, Healthy You. Does your soil need an extra boost or maybe something to bust up that clay? You should think burrs, cotton burrs, that is. Cotton burr compost from Back to Nature is rich in protein, which is the primary food source for beneficial soil organisms. You know, those little guys that aerate the soil with their tunneling and convert nutrients into a form that plants can use. Cotton burr compost is made up of composted cotton burrs, of course, which are a byproduct of the ginning process, and it's 100% organic. We like organic on this show. It also accepts and retains moisture like a champ, unlike peat moss. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs in the United States. Actually, in the southwestern United States. Maybe the United States. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at Meinke Nursery in Niles, Burlington Garden Center in Burlington, Wisconsin, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, and we got somebody calling in here, Mr. Mark. Maybe we got a question. Let's go back to Milo. Are you with me there again?
I am with you. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't know what happened.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's technology. I love technology. as you know, you and I both know Dr. Wally, and he's a great guy, and he knows a lot about organics. He isn't a real doctor, so when you see him in an episode of Grey's Anatomy, remember, he's just an actor. So here's Wally's tip of the week. He says that there has been a rash of customers asking this question in the last 2 weeks. Why didn't my lilacs flower this spring? Now, do you got a lot of lilacs out where you are, Dr. Earth?
We got some, yeah. They actually do fairly well up here. And my wife has planted a couple in our backyard.
Yeah.
I like them.
I do, too.
I'll tell you what, though.
What?
I do love them. I mean, I'll just go back to Dr. Wally. I think Wally in terms of knowing people nationwide, that's one of the great things about my job is I get to travel and I get to meet a lot of really intelligent people, a lot of great garden centers all across America. And Wally's probably one of the brightest, just most straightforward, give you the direct answer guys that I know.
Yeah, he is, and he's answering this question. Now, I already knew the answer to this question, but it bears repeating because it's probably one of the most frequent questions I get. And the biggest reason for why your lilacs didn't bloom is usually improper pruning. If you prune your lilacs in the fall, they won't flower in the spring. It's that simple. Here's the rule of thumb. If you got a flowering shrub, you prune right after it blooms. That's the general rule. Now, you know, you want to go look at specific plants. You know, like, some hydrangeas, like the Annabelle, you can prune them almost any time and they'll bounce back. They're just that crazy. But lilacs and a lot of others, you got to prune right after they bloom. As Wally says, their flowers grow on old wood, and right after bloom time, the flowers start to become crispy and dry. You have a short window of a couple of weeks to prune off the dry flowers, and that will encourage more blooms next year. Now, the other tip he gives, which is really smart, stay a distance away from your lilacs if you use conventional fertilizer with a high nitrogen percentage. This can cause more foliage growth and hinder flowering. You know, these people have these spreaders, these rotators, and they fling that fertilizer out kind of a distance from where they're operating the machine, and they don't realize that now they've just fertilized their shrubs, too. And if you got a 28%, and I don't ever recommend using one of those synthetic fertilizers with 28%, but let's say you do, and it ends up by your lilac, well, you might be suppressing the blooms on it. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Find them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I have Milo Seamus, Dr. Earth on the line. I just want to make a quick point to, and Mark, I know that we're getting a lot of tweets about the GMO story, right?
Yes, we are.
It's interesting because I wrote it on my website today, this week's show, a follow-up to last week. It was, as I say, it was an interesting week because last week on the show, I had the woman from the Organic Consumers Association, Alexis Baden-Mayer, and she was doing an action at Whole Foods to sort of point out the idea that GMOs are in a lot of foods, even if they're sold at Whole Foods. Well, she got arrested on Tuesday. So she's here on my show on Sunday, gets arrested on Tuesday, and I put some information, some of the links that are up about that on this week's show. I didn't go into great detail because I haven't talked to her, but we got tweeted about it. Some people want to know. For instance, I got a tweet that says, no mention of the charges nor what steps must be taken to avoid future arrests at GMO food dumps. Permits? Whole Foods market cooperation? See, and that's the interesting thing. That, and I want to talk to her again, so I think I'm going to have to get her on the show and find out exactly what happened because she kind of, you were here, Mark, and she kind of indicated that she was working with Whole Foods.
Yeah, it sounded like she'd done this before in San Francisco, and it went, you know, very smoothly.
It didn't go smoothly in Chicago, though.
Yeah, not in Chicago.
No, not so much.
She didn't know the right alderman or
she
something.
She did the frog march here in Chicago. Okay. Let's get back to Dr. Earth, Milo Seamus. And I think a good way to start, Milo, is we've got a question. Can we go with a question right out of the gate here?
Absolutely. You know, I would like to make a comment about GMOs this show. You know, I write a chapter about GMOs.
Yes, you do. You do cover it in here, and I'm glad you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm fairly versed on the subject, and, you know, I think one of the things that we as Americans just simply ask is that GMO foods be labeled, and I think that's one of the problems that she probably ran into is that, you know, obviously most commodity crops are GMO. Most of them, not all. Soybean, corn, wheat, alfalfa. Most commodity crops have been genetically altered, and it comes down to, for me, it always comes down to the integrity of a company, not so much the actual labeling on a product. If there's a company that's been manufacturing organic products for the last 40, 50 years, I would typically support that company, regardless of what it says on the label. But a lot of the activists, what they're insisting on doing is what they've done in Europe for a very long time, is that there's a clear separation between foods that have been altered or include GMO ingredients and foods that don't.
Well, yeah, but here's a problem with that, Milo, and we all know the way it works in America. You get the big companies, the GMO companies, with their money and their muscle, and they're muscling their stuff in because their goal is to blend it so thoroughly to combine and confuse the organics with the GMOs so that at some point they say, hey, there's no way we can label this because everything has a little bit of GMO in it, and then they win at that point.
It's all financially motivated. You and I both know there's a few giant corporations out there that pretty much control everything that grows on American soil, and it's not in their best interest to label anything with GMO.
Because 90% of the American people won't buy it if it's labeled GMO. That tells you something.
But, you know, the irony is that what they're saying is, well, if we label it with GMO, we're just going to further confuse the consumer. Which makes no sense to me whatsoever. But anyways, that's the argument that they're using, is that if we label it does not contain GMO, it's going to confuse the consumer. But it seems to me that if a consumer says does not, you know, there's a lot of guys that have actually offered to put on their labels does not contain GMOs, and they were asked by the federal government to take that off of their packaging because they said that just confuses the consumer. And I think to myself, do you think the government really cares? Obviously, it's the food manufacturers that are associated with GMOs that want that taken off their label because most of the large-scale food producers are using GMO ingredients. It just makes good fiscal sense. It's a lesser expensive ingredient. It's easier to grow. So, of course, they're going to go after the smaller manufacturer that says does not contain GMOs. It's a very heated debate. It really is. I mean, my personal opinion is I don't use GMOs. I'm not a big fan of them. I think there's a place for them in third world countries, let's say, where there's vitamin A deficiencies. And if you can alter rice to contain higher vitamin A and people are dying, yeah, there might be a place for that. But, I mean, I think in an advanced society like ours, I don't think we need them. But, you know, again, there's a lot of pros and cons. And I cover it fairly well in my chapter on GMOs. But it's a very heated debate. I'd love to be able to listen to what your guest says. I think she probably has a lot to say.
Well, you know what? If you go to last week's, you can go to the podcast of last week's show and hear the conversation. I made a podcast with just Alexis Baden-Mayer, and now I got to talk to her again and say, okay, why'd you get arrested? Who did it? That's the point. We don't seem to know because Whole Foods is claiming. Is claiming they didn't do it. We'll get back to that in a little bit. But I want to get to this phone call. And again, 773-838-9278. If you want to talk to Dr. Earth, and one of the people who wants to do that is Donald from Chicago. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great. What's your question?
Well, in the past, they've always talked about one should rotate vegetables on a regular basis. And I just got to thinking, well, should one also do that when it comes to planting annuals in the garden? Should one rotate annuals on a regular basis?
That's an excellent question, Milo. I've not heard that, but that would seem to make a kind of sense. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, you know, are we talking about annual ornamentals, Donald? I just want to make sure.
Well, annuals like that you put out every year, like flowering annuals, like petunias, marigolds,
okay, I just
want
to make sure that was on the question. I think it's always a good idea to rotate anything, just simply because whatever pathogens may be a host to that specific vegetable, ornamental plant, whatever, you minimize the risk of it being reintroduced in the following crop. So, good idea. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a proponent of that.
Waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years before using the same annual?
I would say about 3 years. Mike, would you agree?
You're the scientist here, buddy. I would say a couple of years is probably safe, but 3 years? Yeah, you might be right. What I would think about is, and a lot of people deal with this sometimes, they get fungal diseases, and you address that in your book, how fungus can be your friend or your foe, Milo, but fungal diseases tend to take out a lot of annuals. I would think especially if you have a problem like that, if you experience that in your yard, then it's a sign that maybe I need to plant something different there next year. Wouldn't you think, Milo?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the only reason why I even brought this up, is just for fungal diseases. Otherwise, there's really no other reason to rotate. If you're reintroducing new compost, new soil, new planting amendments, I mean, in theory, you should be fine, especially if you're using a good product that contains beneficial probiotics. They'll typically knock down the fungal pathogens, but just as an added measure, if you want to be extremely on the safe side, you can wait 3 years. But as Mike said, 2 years should be more than fine. And that's what conventional growers do. They usually wait about 2 years.
I tell you what I'm going to do, Donald. I'm going to give you a copy of the book.
Thank you, Michael.
Healthy Garden, Healthy You. Hang on. And I will put you on hold, and you will talk to Mark and give him your information. Thanks for calling this morning.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Donald.
Okay. Let's take another one. Who is that on line three, Mark? Bill? All right. We're going to line three, and Bill, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, I'm calling. I live in Bloomington, Illinois, and we're in three or four of us have some fairly nice, we think, bluegrass lawns. And we're starting to see a wild grass becoming more and more prevalent each year. And for lack of a better term, we're calling it tall fescue, clump fescue. We don't know if that's what it is. It's not crabgrass. We're certain of that. But when you mow your yard, it looks pretty good. But then about a day or two later, it grows quicker than the bluegrass. And you can see these clumps, you know, they're intermingled all over the yard. And we know we can probably kill it with Roundup or something like that because it will, of course, kill everything.
Yeah.
But we would try not to. We're wondering if there's another way to get rid of it, short of using something like Roundup.
Well, I'll tell you, there are less toxic. There are organic methods that you can use. First of all, you got to identify the thing, and what I would suggest to you is take whatever this grass that's invasive is to a local garden center, to an extension office, you know, assuming they continue to get funded by the state of Illinois.
Right, I understand.
But get it ID'd, because that's going to be the key. I can't, because I don't know what it is. I can't see what it is right now. But I will say, if you're interested in going away to burn it out, there's horticultural vinegar, which I've talked about on the show before, which is 20% solution. And you could use that if you don't want to use Roundup. And I know a lot of people don't. And I don't blame them. But the key is going to be the ID. So what I would suggest, and Bill, is get a photo of that to me if you can, so I can see what that difference might be. All right, and what the turf might be that you've got there, and then we can proceed with that. Or if you think you can take a picture of it, or even better, a sample. Because ID is going to be the key to that. It's going to be hard for me to just tell you, you know, if you want to wipe out your lawn, you can do that, but it's just in spots, right?
Right, yeah, it's just, yeah, and it's very clumpy, and it's, you know...
Clumpy,
it's,
huh?
Yeah, it's clumpy, and it grows tall and has a seed, sometimes has a seed pod at the very end of it, if it gets, you know, if you let it go a little bit longer than some places, and just real... You know, real ugly-looking stuff.
Well, they're clumpy fescues or clumpy... It's not zoysia grass or anything like that, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not zoysia. I know that. And because... And, you know, and it doesn't look bad when you mow your yard.
Yeah.
You know, when it's in it.
But
it's all the same height. But about a day or two later,
yeah,
it's really sprouting up. And
yeah,
it's really... Then you can really see it. And some people in our neighborhood, it doesn't bother them. And they've got quite a bit of it in their yard. You know, but several of us are, you know, we pay a little bit, I'd say, more attention to the yard. Maybe some would say more attention than we should.
Yeah.
But yet it's something we don't want and we'd like to get rid of. And if I wanted to send you a photo, how would I get the...
Send it to mike@mikenowak.net. MikeNowak.net. And you can go to my website, mikenowak.net, to find the place to send it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, Bill. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Back to you, Milo. Well, this is a little off target, but that's what happens on a gardening show and environment show. People ask questions. I mean, I'm being tweeted right now about... right now, I'm looking at the Twitter, and we've got GMOs, we've got lilacs, we've got mushroom compost.
It's all over the place. Huh?
It is. I want to go to... you in the book again, because one of the things you do in the book that I like so much is you preach the gospel of healthy soil. And I bet a lot of people don't understand that. As I tell people sometimes, it's the biology, stupid. And I mean that in a nice way. Explain to me the idea of probiotics, because that's a term you really like and you push. How does that relate to the soil? What does that mean in terms of the health of your plants?
Think of the soil like you think of the human body. You need probiotics in your intestine and your stomach to break down all of the food you consume, to eliminate all of the fungus and all of the harmful things that can be very pathogenic to your body. Same exact thing with the soil. The soil really... When you introduce probiotics, beneficial organisms, beneficial bacteria, beneficial fungi, what they do is they break down the organic materials in the soil and they convert them to a usable form that plant roots can absorb. It's like you and I going out to dinner last night. You go out to, you grab a meal, you eat it, and unless you have probiotics in your stomach, they can't break that steak down, those potatoes, that salad, whatever you ate, and convert it into a simpler form. A form that your stomach can actually identify and absorb the nutrients from. That's why the biology is much more important than the chemistry. Yes, there is better living through chemistry. Absolutely, I'm a fan of that. But if you get the biology right in the soil, you'll have very healthy plants. And really, the book, what I did, it's really not a gardening book. That's one thing I'd like to really point out to your listeners, Mike, is that it's not a gardening book. It's a lifestyle book. It happens to take you through a journey of starting with the microscopic level of the soil, building healthy soil. And the logical deduction is if the soil is healthy, the plants that are grown in the soil will be healthy. Then animals and humans that consume those plants will be healthy. So it's a journey of building it from the soil all the way up, because if the soil is healthy, everything that grazes on the soil will be healthy. Animals, plants, humans. Because really, if you think about it, Mike, you and I are nothing than living, breathing, walking soil. Every molecule that makes up your body and my body somehow, somewhere started in the soil. It's just you and I are recycled soil. You and I could be part of somebody else's body that lived 1,000, 1,000,000 years ago. That's all we are. So if the soil is healthy, we're going to be healthy. And that's really the way I address the book. That's the way I take people to it. It's not a gardening book. I have 1,000 gardening books, Mike, and I've never read a single one from cover to cover because they bore the heck out of me.
Well, this I have to say that one of the things you do take people on a journey in this book. And don't sell yourself short here. You do cover the 100 vegetables or plants here in the back that you can, and they're primarily vegetables, and how to grow them and why they're good for you. But the first half of the book starts off, as you say, explaining why. It's not a how-to book as much as it's a why-to book.
Right. There's six parts of the book. Part one is soil health. Part two is plant health, because logically, of course, the plants were in the soil. Part three is animal health, both the animals that we raise as our pets and the animals that we consume. Part four is human health. That's the journey part. Then part five is really just a quick reference, just a reminder of how to garden. And then you're right, part six is the reference part of my book. 100 plants you can either grow in your backyard or you can buy from the supermarket, and how to grow them. This is what's unique about the book is how to grow the plant, its disease preventive properties, and its direct health benefits. That's what's unique about this. It's kind of like a gardening book and a health food book at the same time. So you learn why should I grow a tomato? Then you'll learn, lycopene, phytonutrients. Here's the diseases it prevents. Here's how it keeps me healthy. That's the uniqueness of the book, is that it's not really a commodity gardening book. It's very, and it's not a health book. It's not a boring health book. So there is a reference in the back, but it's really a journey. It's a book you can take to Maui with you, and you can sit poolside.
Absolutely.
And enjoy it. It's not a reference.
It's in your own voice. That's the other thing. It's obviously from the heart, and that's very easy to figure out when you read it. That's Milo Seamus, is the author of Healthy Garden, Healthy You. We're going to have to do this again, Milo. Obviously, I love talking soil and microbiology with you, and not that I know that much, but I learn more every day, especially because I talk to people like you. So the information about the book is on my website, mikenovak.net. You can get a link to Dr. Earth, great sponsor of the show, but you can also get a link to a Healthy Garden, Healthy You. And believe me, I'm going to tell you something. This book is not an advertisement for Dr. Earth. It is about, you won't even see the name Dr. Earth. I think it's on the cover, and that's about it.
That's the only place.
I noticed that. I went, wow, good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Thank you, Mike.
He's just getting the word out and about how to grow healthy. Milo Seamus, we will talk soon.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This isn't a tip from the Care of Trees, but it's still a tip to you. One of my listeners sent me a tweet several weeks back. It read, quote, live in a huge condo complex, used to be Arlington Club Golf Course. Care of Trees takes care of us. They do a GR8 job. That means great. And then he finishes beautiful. Now, while I love to receive messages like that, it doesn't surprise me when I do. That's because I know the people at the Care of Trees, not just as advertisers, but as clients, friends, and concerned environmentalists who have worked with me in organizations like MELA, the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association. It's not surprising that the Care of Trees was recognized in 2010 for the sixth straight year as a company that cares. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See the Care of Trees .com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. Deer and rabbits are like grim reapers for your garden. They're the ones that probably would survive the rapture. So fight for the life of your prized vegetables and flowers with Bonide's all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent. Go-away liquid is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations and can be applied directly to plants you want to protect, keeping animals from eating them for up to 45 days. Go-away liquid can be applied directly to vegetables and fruit for protection up to the day of harvest. And go-away granules can be used all around all gardens to protect against marauding animal pests, and it's effective for up to 2 months. Look for go-away deer and rabbit repellent products at Countryside Nursery and Garden Center in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Golden Gate Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, Matson, that's right, we figured that out the other year, Matson. Sorry, people in Matson. Matson Ace Hardware in Coal City, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it directly to your computer. Just type in a name of a pest and a solution, and you can get that at Bonide.com. Well, as you notice, the weather is nice today, but don't get fooled. I mean, well, it's not likely to snow or anything. I'm just saying that around November or so, it's not going to be quite so nice. No siree. That's why you need to sign up now for my cruise next winter from February 25th to March 3rd, 2012. February 25th to March 3rd, 2012. I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line's Norwegian Sun visiting the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more. Where it's summer all year long. We'll be exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens and some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere, and I want you to join me. Call CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664. Wow, more end-of-the-world stuff. 800-876-6664, or log on to cruise-works.com. Or just write to me, Mike at MikeNovak.net, and I'll send you all of the information you need. You don't want to miss out on this, so you should sign on today.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
We've got our Chicago forecast coming up, not with Rick DeMaio, but Patrick Skatch. Oh, do we have our music ready there, Mark? Okay, so we'll do that in a second, too. Okay, hold on. But first, you know, if you love shopping for plants, you've got to check out the Monrovia Boutique at Sid's Greenhouses. It's an exciting way to shop for an extensive variety of Monrovia plants, plus outdoor living products like arbors, pottery, gazing globes, and garden benches. And they're all arranged to provide ideas on how to combine plants, create interesting containers, set up outdoor living spaces, and to identify great specimen plants. It's sort of like going into a department store where you can find clothes of a specific designer in one area. The Monrovia Boutique at Sid's Greenhouses is a great place for every gardener to find distinctive, high-quality plants that will inspire. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. They're open Monday through Saturday until 8 p.m. Let Sid's and Monrovia help make your beautiful garden come alive. And remember, when you're done planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to Sid's for recycling, or pick up donated pots for use in your home garden. Wait. No. I started that. I went on autopilot, and I forgot we were going to have a different song for Mr. Sketch. Are you ready there, Mr. Mark?
Let's rock.
Let's rock. Yes, and with that, it's time to bring in Patrick Sketch, who's going to do our weather forecast on the Mike Novak Show this morning. And, of course, Mr. Sketch, you realize we're playing Pat Sketch Fever, right?
I certainly do, Mike, and that was a great introduction. That's going to really spell it out for this evening's weather, too, the way it's panning out. So,
look at you, right into the segue.
Man, he nailed it.
He really did. And Mark, and I have to tell you one thing, though. That version of Pat Sketch Fever is not Ted Nugent, because that guy's a Nimrod.
That's a Nugent-free version of Pat Sketch.
That's a Nugent-free version. We went with that.
It's Tokay.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it was an amended thought that was put into this.
We work these things out. This is called show prep.
Apparently so.
Patrick, hey, listen, I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Thank you for filling in for Mr. DeMaio, who's out of town. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Patrick.
Well, I'm a weather observer with the National Weather Service and have been for the last 9 years. I've known Rick all that time, and he's been very instrumental in a lot of encouragement and, you know, education with me and so forth. And I'm also a climate researcher, so I'll, you know, review past climate data and look in the past and so forth.
That's excellent, but you're not technically a meteorologist, I understand.
No, I'm not.
Just play one on the radio, right?
Exactly. A meteorologist, you know, in joking sense, looks into the future. A climate researcher looks in the past.
I like it. I like that. So, but yet I know that you and Rick put your heads together to give us a forecast. But let's talk about you start off. I mean, you and I chatted the other day, and you were talking about some of the farmers in the area, and you have some anecdotal information about what they've been dealing with.
Sure. Well, I have a longtime family friend who farms down in Kankakee in Livingston County. They have 5,000 acres down there, and they keep me abreast every spring and fall, you know, with the harvest season of what's taking place, and I actually give him information, too, regarding upcoming weather events. Last week, they had 80% of their corn planted, which is really late. That's a real stall, and they were getting concerned, you know, with the upcoming forecast and rain and so forth. And he just told me that they completed the remainder this week, working into the night. In fact, they finished at 4:30 a.m. yesterday morning. Now they're underway with soybean planting, and they're about 50% done with that. What had stalled them off, Mike, was several things. Rainfall so far for Chicago, proper. April, 4.9 inches. May, 1.19. So for a month and maybe 7 weeks total, 6.09 in Chicago. Kankakee had 9 inches of rain. Now we're going to couple that with something else. Last month, April 2011, had a total sunshine of 32%. That is the least sunniest April of record. 34% follows that in 1953, and 53% is normal.
You guys, you know, you're doing your Tom Skilling thing here, too, you know, which is, you guys love to compare previous years, don't you?
Well, it's very interesting, sure, because, you know, and it affects, you talk to these farmers, Mike, you know, they'll tell you and everyone else, you know, weather is their life. It, you know, that whole thing depends on it. So it becomes very interesting to see how we can associate it with, you know, people who are making a livelihood.
Yeah, I understand completely. And you said in Kankakee, you mentioned there was a lot of rain, but just north into Chicago, not so much. So that is that kind of the dividing line you see for this spring?
Yeah, basically. And even if you go a little bit further north, they had slightly less. Now, you know, the Kankakee area, they had continuous rain, nothing really significant in any one event. They did have one episode a couple weeks ago where they had a large amount, but it just was, you know, periodic and steady. Now here, statewide rainfall, Mike, for April, This past April is 7.45 inches on a whole for the state. You have to go all the way back to April of 1957, to come in second place with 7.13. So we have had quite a bit of rain.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Patrick, I need to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to find out what kind of forecast we have for the week. And like I said, I know you and Rick got your heads together and are going to come up with a, as always, brilliant and accurate forecast. So can you hang on just for a second?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Patrick. That's Pat Skatch, Patrick Skatch. I know he likes Patrick. He's doing the weather forecast this morning on the Mike Novak Show. Let me tell you about Pearl Valley Eggs, an Illinois family-owned farm that does it right. Dave Thompson, the founder of Pearl Valley Eggs, got into the egg business almost by accident years ago. He was a school teacher, and he wanted to show his students where chickens and our food come from. And he started collecting them, and they were hatching, and then more hatched, and then more chickens. And you see where that's going. And suddenly, he's got Pearl Valley Eggs. And I visited their farm, and it was fascinating to learn how they aerobically compost chicken manure and straw to create the organic Healthy Grow fertilizer. Pearl Valley Eggs and Healthy Grow fertilizer is sustainability in action. The chickens are raised on site, produce superior quality eggs, and then help create an organic fertilizer. They have it, they have the closed loop system, and I love them for it. I think that's great. Healthy Grow lawn and garden food is available at garden centers throughout the Chicago area. I've used it on Mike Sanders' lawn. We're going to take some pictures and see how it's doing. He tells me it's doing very well at the moment. His lawn, somebody asked him if he had just had his lawn sodded. Okay. How cool is that? So, I want you to insist also on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop. In fact, you should do a comparison between Pearl Valley Eggs and the ones you're buying now. You'll be amazed by the quality of Pearl Valley. Food is essential to life. If you want a quality life, you need quality food for you and your garden. Learn more about it at healthygrow.com. That's healthygrow.com.
What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid. Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
You know, when people recall the olden days when business owners weren't always trying to rip you off and sold products they really believed? That's an ethic upheld by the folks at Bobex, who have been selling deer and animal repellent products for more than 20 years. Bobex animal repellents are made from all natural and recycled ingredients, which means they're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets, and they don't contain petrochemical or synthetic components. Bobex keeps critters away from your plants using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. Don't look for Bob-X products in a box store. Look for them in a Bob-X store, meaning your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bob-X at your favorite garden center, you can call Bob-X and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bob-X products at Village Farm Stand in South Holland, Illinois, The Chalet in Wilmette, Illinois, Thistle Stop Garden Shop in Yorkville. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X. Oh, come on. We'll bring up that music one more time for Pat. It's the Pat Sketch Fever. And Patrick Sketch is on the line. He's doing our weather forecast for the week. Patrick, what are we going to see? You've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, things have changed for this evening, Mike. For the rest of today, we're going to see partly cloudy skies. We have a 50% chance of rain this afternoon. However, the Storm Prediction Center yesterday evening had us in a slight risk area. That was changed this morning, and it's moved to a moderate risk. So we have it's more likely that we're going to see thunderstorms coming in this evening. Nothing totally severe, but it's something to keep our eyes on. We're going to have temperatures today in the low to mid-80s. Tonight, 60% chance of rain, possibly an isolated thunderstorm. We're going to be down in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, a possible thunderstorm, upper 70s to low 80s, 30% chance overnight of rain on Monday night, near 50. And then for the rest of the week, it's going to taper off, and then we're going to have temperatures actually towards the end of the week below normal.
Wow.
Daytime highs.
Here we go again, huh?
Exactly.
Wow. How much below normal? What are the highs going to be, do you think, at the end of the week?
At the end of the week, we're probably going to see highs somewhere in the 60s.
Well, you know, for those cool season vegetables, it'll keep them going for a while. But it will get to summer eventually, won't we, Patrick?
Exactly. And I'll touch base real quickly. Our last occurrence dates of frost and freeze. Average for frost was April 29th, and freeze is a week later for, a week earlier, the 24th. So it appears, Mike, that we are done with any frost or freeze.
So I guess you can get those tomatoes out. Just if it gets real cool, though, be careful at night. Patrick Sketch, it's a pleasure to have you on the program, and we will do it again sometime.
Very good, Mike. Thank you very much.
Have a good Sunday.
Likewise.
All right, stick around for the second hour. We're talking environment.
Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
That would have worked beautifully if I had the right button pushed at the very top. Don't you think, Mark?
That is the secret to good radio.
is having the right button pushed.
At the right time.
Yeah. Operator error. Operator error. Welcome back to the second big hour. You know, sometimes, often I wish I had a third hour here. Those guys during the week. Dick Kay, Mighty House, they all have that extra hour where I feel like I'm just running down a dream, you know, just trying to do the perfect radio show and it never happens. That's an elusive goal.
They just treat you like a, you know, like a jerk. They're not giving you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mark Munger. That was not said by Mike Novak on the show. Please do not quote me, please.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Hey, we've gotten Jen Walling is in the studio, who's the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and we'll get to her about 11:05. No, we will actually get to you, but I have a few things. I don't know what. It's a beautiful day, so everybody's indoors. What's going on here? They're all tweeting us and letting us know. Now, I have Mr. Smarty Pants, Scott Jameson, who's tweeting me about the grass problem that Bill had down in central Illinois. Where did Bill say he was calling from? Do you remember?
Bill. Was he from DeKalb? No, that wasn't DeKalb.
It wasn't DeKalb Way. Was it?
I don't know.
I'm trying to, because I just have this vague memory of it being, it was outside of Chicago, but I was trying to remember where it was. But
No, never mind.
You're not helpful. You're not helping at all. But Scott Jamerson says, sounds like annual bluegrass. Poa annua. Well, la-di-frickin-da, Mr. Jamerson. No, thank you for that. It might be, you know. It's possible that is, without seeing it, without being there. And I know there are, and I'm going to make this disclaimer once again. It's radio. I've had radio guys across the country. You go to these conventions and the radio guys say, oh yeah, I can analyze anything within 10 seconds. Tell you exactly what's going on. Well, good for you. That's not me. That ain't me. And besides, I've also heard other people say, you know, it's really hard to diagnose stuff over the radio. So if, Bill, if you send me a picture, but Poa annua, good guess. You know, Scott, if you're right, I'll send you a prize. How about that? Not that you need one, but I may send you a prize. And, the Yarden. Oh, well, great. Thanks, Lamanda. Lamanda Joy is on her way down here. And she says she forgot the eggplant bread. Well, thanks a lot, Lamanda. I hope she picks something up at the Dunkin' Donuts at least. No, I'd rather not have anything, actually, to tell you the truth. What else did we... and she also mentions, because she's going to be here at the bottom of the hour, she's packing up love tokens, cookies, and seeds for our... Charred Overlord. Yes, folks, I am your Charred Overlord, as you know, because Swiss Chard won the 1-seat Chicago and I stuffed the ballot box. So I am your Charred Overlord.
Oh, that's nasty.
Exactly, says Honey Badger. Jen, are you familiar with Honey Badger?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll introduce Honey Badger to you later on. And we did have another question that I'm going to try to get answered, Mark. It was about bonsai.
Yes.
I said bonsai. I said bonsai.
What was the best Dr. Earth product for a bonsai?
Which is a great question.
It's a fantastic question.
I'm gonna. It's very specific.
Yeah.
You know, I get questions every week that I've never heard before. Like, what is the best Dr. Earth product for bonsai? I have no idea.
We got to start putting some plants out there in the audience.
If you go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to the homepage because there's the slideshow of the parking lot farm, and it is rocking. Oh, my goodness. The leafy stuff is exploding, so I'm going to have to load up some garbage bags full of lettuce, 30 gallons, you know, take them home today so I can have some salad because the salad in my yard is all toxic with lead.
This is nice.
We are going to do that show about soil. I think I'm going to devote like the whole darn show to soil and toxicity and how you deal with it because it's such an important question. Is it not, Jennifer Walling?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, pull that mic over just a little bit. She is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. I'm so glad to have you on the program.
Thanks.
And you've been at your new job as executive director not even 6 months yet, right?
Yeah, January 3rd was my starting date.
And congratulations on that. Before that,
Thank you.
Worked with State Senator Heather Staines.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you did is you helped push through HB 99. Was it HB?
SB 99.
SB 99, sorry. SB 99, which was the composting bill.
Yep, the first commercial composting in Illinois. It was... very hard to do before we pass that law, so very exciting.
Well, that's where I want to start. Where have we progressed since SB 99 got passed? Because it takes a while for the gears of the composting industry to start up. If you can briefly explain what that bill did in terms of making composting easier in the state of Illinois.
Sure. So before we passed that law, we had been talking with some different businesses, especially restaurants. And, you know, it's pretty easy for an individual to compost at home, seeing that they're following municipality laws. But it turned out that businesses unless they wanted to compost on site, they were having a lot of difficulty finding a place to take their composting.
Yeah, because one of the things, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, we treated compost or food scraps as toxic materials.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, that was the effect of the law, mm-hmm. right?
And if you wanted to cite a commercial facility that composted food scraps, it had to go through the same permitting process as a landfill, which... $1 million permit. And, mm-hmm. you know, some of these intermediate to larger scale compost facilities can only cost $10 million. So if you're paying $1 million for a permit, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we passed this law and we basically moved the permitting down from landfill to just a little bit harder to site than a yard waste facility, which are relatively easy to site. So, you know, In Chicago, for example, I've been told that the permit fee has gone down from spending $1 million to spending $50,000.
But which is a significant
mm-hmm.
Drop
yes.
from $1 million to $50,000. But the point is, we're still talking about professionals here. We're talking
mm-hmm.
about big business in a sense,
mm-hmm.
or maybe that's considered a small business, but it's a business, and you still have to have $50,000 just to start the thing, right?
Yes, exactly.
So. How quickly is that changing the face of food scrap composting in Illinois?
Well, we've heard that there are at least 4 places that now have a permit from the IEPA, and there are more that are applying. So there are definitely people who either already have the yard waste composting facilities or new people already applying and getting these permits. So we know this business it started January 1st. 2010, I think. And so, you know, we already are seeing these businesses pop up. And our hope is within a couple of years, there'll be places that will pick up your compost. For example, if you're a restaurant where 85% of your waste is organic, you know, we're hoping within the next couple of years, that's going to be a very easily viable option. So we're going towards that. And this law definitely moved towards it. We still have some fixes with, you know, as you said, if you're a smaller...
Yeah, my question was going to be, though, how does it affect really small outfits? Like, so for instance, a community garden, which mm-hmm. is, bigger than somebody doing their yard might have, you know, let's look at the Peterson Garden Project, and we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. They've got 157 beds there.
Mm-hmm.
What if they decided they want to compost that stuff and move it off site? Are they still stuck? Or do they, what do they do? Do they... contact a business, a hauler who's set up a composting operation?
Mm-hmm. Well, if they wanted to take it off-site, they would have to get a hauler who had a permit. But, for example, if they wanted to do it on-site and there are certain size requirements for on-site, there are still some restrictions in the city that we need to work on with regards to, like, community garden composting
mm-hmm.
sites. So there's still some stuff there. But as far as the state law goes, as long as I think it's something like under 12 cubic yards, which is actually fairly sizable.
Yeah, it is.
You can,
yeah.
You don't need the permit for
I don't know if you've
stuff.
Ever dealt with 10 cubic yards of compost.
It's about
or 12.
Dumpster size.
Yeah. A truckload.
Truck size. Truckload
yeah,
size.
Yeah. You load out a truck, a small truck, and that's, mm-hmm. that can be around that. And that'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah.
That's Jennifer Walling, the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to take a short break here, and when we return, we need to dive into what's going on in Springfield because my sources tell me it's been very interesting down
mm-hmm.
there. And there's a lot of bills that I would suspect affect Illinoisans, and they don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the frustrating thing to me. I think I mentioned this earlier. We might keep our news operations keep track of the really, really biggest stories. And, you know, I love the fact that people are paying attention to what Barack Obama is saying about Israel, but a lot of them don't know what's happening in their own backyard. And I think that in a sense, we know local, so we know what Rahm's doing, we know what Obama's doing, but somehow the state level slips through the cracks. That's the one where we kind of lose track of things. And you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
That does happen, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Unless it is something that ends up affecting you personally, you know, a lot of people don't know what's going on. That's why we're there in Springfield all the time.
All right, and we're going to talk about that. Some of the bills wending their way through the General Assembly right now. Deer and rabbits can devour your hard work in just one night and then skip out on the bill. That ain't fair. So save your vegetable gardens, flower gardens, shrubs, and trees with Bonide's all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent. Go-away liquid is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations and can be applied directly to plants you want to protect, keeping animals from eating them for up to 45 days. Go-away liquid can be applied directly to vegetables and fruit for protection up to the day of harvest. And go-away granules can be used around all gardens to protect against marauding animal pests, and it's effective for up to 2 months. Look for Go Away Deer and Rabbit Repellent products at Anton the Branch in Highland Park, Illinois, Atrium Garden Center in Killdeer, Illinois, Hawthorne Gardens in Hawthorne Woods, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it to your computer. Get it at Bonide.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
There are a lot of great reasons to visit Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Dr. Wally's one. But another, Pesci's A to Z assortment of our own grown veggies and herbs. Naturally grown without pesticides and fungicides, Pesci's veggies and herbs are watered with rainwater from a holding pond. Yes, they store their own rainwater and they water with it. That's very cool. You'll get the latest and best varieties as well as a great assortment of heirlooms. Here's how you find out what's in stock. Visit Pesci's.com. Click on greenhouses at the top of the home page. You'll find a complete list of Pesci's veggies and herbs as well as a PDF file of all the vegetables they grow from seed. Naturally grown veggies and herbs, along with great organic fertilizers and curatives from Dr. Earth, will provide you with delicious, healthy produce this year. You've tried the rest, now learn and grow with the best. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online, as I said, at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Back to Jennifer Walling in just 60 seconds. I'm not a I told you kind of guy, but see, I told you. If you don't like the spring weather in Chicago, just wait a few months. It changes that fast, doesn't it? You know what? Everybody says that. Do you know that, you know, that adage that people say in Chicago? If you don't like the weather, wait a few minutes.
Yeah.
Everybody in the country says that. Well, maybe except for San Diego.
But I
heard him say it in Washington State. I've heard him say it in, you know, Oregon. I've heard him say it on the East Coast. They all say the same thing.
Didn't Mark Twain say something like, everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
Yeah.
I'm doing something
about it, pal.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, because I don't have a real segue, I'll just say that you need the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Why? Because it's the biggest and most jam-packed issue of the year. There are great stories like how to keep your garden containers going from the last frost in the spring to the first one in the fall simply by swapping in the right plants for the right season. And are you familiar with prairie smoke? It's one of the stars of the Lurie Garden in Millennium Park and a great Midwest native plant. Our own Beth Botts tells you how to care for it. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It's kind of like prairie smoke because when you read it, you're likely to say, it burns! You can produce Chicagoland. That's the point at which Heather would start laughing and try to suppress her laugh. But sorry, Mark. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. But like I said, Get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
It's not easy being green, having to spend its day in the color of the leaves.
I haven't played this in such a long time. I used to do it with the segment we had on the show, the whatever report. It's like 3 years ago, and I can't remember what it was, but the Van Morrison, great version of It's Not Easy Being Green. And you find that out being a legislator, too, don't you, Jennifer Walling? How about that for a segue? I put a lot of this on my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show. And if you go there, you'll see a list of some of the bills that are making their way through the General Assembly. And we're getting to crunch time.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. When is it
scheduled to end? But do
May
you think
31st.
Do you think it's going to go overtime?
I don't think it's going to go overtime this year.
Really?
Yeah. I think both the House and Senate have passed major portions of the budget already. And they're actually passing parts of the budget rather than doing a lump sum. And then redistricting is likely to happen this week.
And that's a huge controversial issue because,
yes,
you know, anytime one party takes power, In a state legislature, they remap like crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw it in Texas, and they redistricted a lot of Democrats out of existence, and apparently mm-hmm. that's what the Democrats in Illinois are going to do to the Republicans here.
Yep, lots of Republicans in each other's districts so far is what we're seeing. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, boy. Don't you love American politics? But while we're on the subject, I'm going to put in one more plug because I have more information on my website about Illinois Extension, which is also one of the bills up there, and you should call your senator, state senator, and say that you want House Bill 124, House Amendment 1. That's all you need to know, and that's on my website, because that's the one that's going to give a little more money to the Cook County Initiative, which we really need, which would be a great idea, and I've been pushing this for several weeks, and I hope it happens. But you are talking about you've just had a victory, I note, which is the electronics recycling.
Yeah, so we passed an electronic recycling law in 2008, which was our state's first law, which required manufacturers to accept and pay for recycling for a certain number of electronics. And it turned out there was a flaw with that system that meant goals are actually going to go down and they'll be less. And so it's fixing a flaw with that bill, and our goals are going to go up. So far, you know, it's passed the Senate and the House. It has to go back to the Senate for concurrence. You know, it's not a sure thing yet, but the Senate vote, since it's already gotten through once, it's very likely it'll go through again. And that's very exciting. You know,
I think the important thing to keep in mind with that bill and going back to 2008 and when you first got it passed, and you worked on that bill then, is it puts the onus on the manufacturers,
yes,
and not on the public. So much of our recycling is, well, if you do a better job, you know, I always loved it when Richie Daley used to blame the citizens for not recycling enough. You know, you got to recycle more. And we sort of forget that the manufacturers are creating this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about the bill, is that it puts the onus on the manufacturers. And so mm-hmm. it's going to continue to do that and be stronger. You're strengthening that bill.
Yep, there's going to be more opportunities for individuals to bring their electronics recycling into different drop-off sites, different stores. You know, I think people have already seen a real difference in their daily lives because of this bill, and just more opportunities available, and this is just going to make it even better. And it's not that expensive.
Has it led to more centers where you can drop off stuff?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't say exactly which of the big box stores are taking it back, but I know, and I know if you're contacting some of them, some of the big electronics retailers are taking them back, and there are frequent electronics drop-offs in different areas. It's really expanded. Well, I know the city did a program last year where it did some in different areas of the city. It's really taking off, and it's really not that expensive for manufacturers. So, you know, it's been a great program and a great solution so far. So it's a victory.
Okay, it's good to have a victory. Now, mm-hmm. the other things you're still fighting, and one is water quality.
Yep.
And you've got several issues involving water quality. Mm-hmm. Let's go down the laundry list here, because we have the one is CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. And explain that, Bill.
Sure. So, you know, concentrated animal feeding operations, which I'll just refer to as CAFOs, it's basically farms with more than 1,000 animals on it. And, you know, they're not supposed to pollute and put anything into our waterways. But yet usually how they dispose of the waste from these animals is they just spread them out on fields. And if it rains, that goes right into the water. And, you know, there's really been some tremendous fish kills and just deaths of river for miles. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what we're going to do, what we're working on, it's this SB 1682. It's a bill that would require those facilities that are the largest, about 1% of total facilities in the state, to pay a permit fee, which will pay for enforcement and inspection of, you know, all CAFOs, so that we're able to really control the pollution from these facilities. So, you know, we got that through an important House committee this week, so that was a victory, and, you know, we'll be taking it to a full vote of the House soon. We're really rushing to get that one done. It's very important for this type of pollution.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Lake Michigan Disposal Facility.
Mm-hmm. That was another big victory this year. They had proposed, and nobody can believe me when I say this, but it's in the bill. They were going to put a disposal facility to put PCB-laden sediments in Lake Michigan outside of Waukegan. And then they build a boat harbor over it. And,
those crazy people, they'll do anything.
Doesn't pass the left test. But, you know, obviously legislators, they also thought it was crazy. It only got 19 votes in the Senate, although it got 19 votes in the Senate. 19 people supported this idea. But we got enough votes opposing it that, you know, this bill is dead for now. We're still watching.
Oh, really? So it is dead.
We beat it.
That's yay!
Yay!
Wow. Good for you.
I know. I know.
And how many people do you think, average people, knew about this, that this was even going on?
No. And, you know, like, you have a Twitter feed. We're at ILEnviro, and you can check out, I update when stuff passes, you know.
I would advise you to get on that list, because mm-hmm. I get the bulletins from the council.
Yeah, you can sign up for our email list, ILEnviro.org.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we always have up-to-date what's going on in Springfield, so you know, because we're there. I'm there every day. They're in session.
And then other bill, I mean, there's just so much. The hydraulic fracturing chemical mm-hmm. disclosure.
Yeah. Yep. Well, hydraulic fracturing has been a big deal nationwide lately.
Yeah,
Yeah, just because when it's basically you drill a big well, you pump down water with chemicals in it, it fractures the shale and releases natural gas that they then collect. But when they're doing this, they're putting chemical-laden water down into our groundwater table. And often, you know, this has been something that can be an issue, that the water might get contaminated. So this bill just requires those chemicals to be disclosed. So if there is some sort of pollution or problem with your water, you can connect it right back to the drilling that's happening. And that bill is, we've negotiated out, so there isn't anybody opposing, even the oil and gas industry. We've done a really good job with it. And it was stuck in exec for a while, but I think it's going to be coming out this week on Wednesday and come for a vote. So I think that one's going to be another victory in our column this year. I'm very excited. So.
What am I missing here? I know that you're... How do you keep track? How do you keep all these balls in the air, you know? It's just, it's a lot to... And I would assume, you know, you're not just sending out emails. You're meeting with legislators mm-hmm. and you're talking and explaining the issue. No, listen, this is why it's bad. It's really... this is really not good for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had an email here. This is... good. Tom Shepard from Southeast Environmental Task Force.
Oh, I love Tom. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a great group.
He wants to know if the Leucadia plant has been reintroduced in Springfield, over it looks mm-hmm. likely to be.
That is a good question. So just for some background.
Because we did talk about it on this show, and it was mm-hmm. a big deal when we got the coal-fired plant
was vetoed.
Was vetoed. The governor vetoed one in southeast Chicago and one downstate.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, just rising up out of the bathtub again?
I think so. People probably have read in the news there's this big ComEd bill that's coming up, HB 14, that's really dominated the session with energy issues. And this big bill, it's basically ComEd needs to redo its infrastructure. And it does. It really, that's important. And there's some real possibilities for smart grid, energy efficiency, and renewable energy. But the bill as it is now is still an automatic rate increase for consumers. So all of our groups are having a very hard time with it and have been opposing it. And so... there are other energy items that are floating around. We have a bunch on energy efficiency and renewable energy. And then there are a bunch of these...
Excuse me, phone's ringing. Sorry.
Wow. Who's calling me now?
Oh, it's LaManda. Oh, hold on one second. Hold on. Yes. Can I say that on the air?
Yes, I'm almost there.
Okay. Well, we've got your number. We may be calling you on it. LaManda got pulled over.
Oh, no.
This is considering in the great tradition of guests on my show. Last week, the woman got arrested on Tuesday, and now, it's like the police are monitoring me. Do you think it's something I said?
I think it's everything you've said.
She was driving the Chardmobile. That's why. Oh. Okay. We will get back to that. I'm wrapping up with Jennifer Walling. All right. I hope I see you. How far away are you?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. We'll see you soon. Bye. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
I'm not getting arrested this week.
No. Oh, good. I hope
no
you
plans,
don't.
No
yeah, because who's going to handle the environmental issues?
I know. I got to be there. So just the last thing with the coal plants, like Tom is talking about, there was Leucadia, Taylorville, and Power Holdings, and all three of these might be coming up. I have heard that Leucadia is supposed to pop up in the next week. And if you know the legislative session, mostly legislation is introduced in January, February, and then follows certain deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very structured, but sometimes there's magic, and with this magic, they can just introduce these shell bills and introduce amendments whenever the leadership basically wants. So we have also heard that Leucadia is coming up in the next week in a new bill by itself. So we'll see. I know when the governor vetoed it, he said that if it fixed some of the rate problems for consumers, he would consider not opposing it the next time. So we're really going to have to do some education on this facility,
because it's
neighbor's not happy.
Well, Tom, you might have to get the people
Southeast Environmental Task Force.
You're going to have to whip them up again and get them marching again. Listen, Jen Walling, thank you so much. It's great having you here. Hang out in case LaManda's delayed. She's in the Chardmobile on her way down. Maybe that was this is why I have my phone ready to go off at any time, because I need to know when my guests are calling me. All right, I have to ask one quick question, because I was almost dared to by somebody who tweeted, and it's about Rahm's move at the Department of the Environment in Chicago. Is that going to help or hurt, or are you just waiting to see? It sounds to me, from what I've heard, that, I understand the environmental committee in city council has been dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign. And DOE, it sounds like he's on a sort of wait and see idea about whether he even wants to continue the department.
Yeah, we've had some concerns about that. I have worked with Rich Rodriguez in the past, and
who has been tapped to be
and
I don't know why he let Suzanne Malik McKenna go, but this is, you get a new mayor, mm-hmm. you get new people. I think she knows her stuff and is a good representative of the environmental community. That being said, Rich Rodriguez, former mm-hmm. CTA guy, is now head of DOE. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. He's very competent. He's a very good administrator. And, I am very concerned, especially with some of the goals that were stated, that they're looking at getting rid of or consolidating the department. Many of the biggest responsibilities have been moved to things like the Department of Buildings or special events. We definitely need overall sustainability goals for the city. And I know that has been a big priority of Rahm, and I know these budget issues are pressing in, but, my hope is that Rich and our mayor are keeping these a big priority But we'll be working on that, and we'll be keeping them accountable. So,
well, I my fear is that when you shunt these off into other departments and other areas, it's a real easy way of ignoring them and mm-hmm. losing track of things. It's a little disheartening in terms of the environment. I know so far, I will say the same about Rahm Emanuel that he is saying about the Department of the Environment. Wait and see. I'm in a wait and see mode with the new mayor as to see whether I think he's going in the right direction. You know, he's done some mm-hmm. good stuff so far. But, you know, on this show, my concern is environmental matters, and mm-hmm. we fought real hard to wave the paper in his, wave the red flag in his face, say, hello, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna mm-hmm. do? What are you gonna do? If you look at his, statement, of the thing, if you go to his website, Chicago 2011, recycling is number 24, okay, mm-hmm. on the list. Okay. So you think it's the 24th most important thing to deal with. Okay. I'm in a wait-and-see mode, Mr. Emanuel. We'll see how well you do. Yeah. Thank you for being candid, Jennifer. She's the Executive Director of Illinois Environmental Council. More information on my website, MikeNovak.net. Give us your website real quick.
Sure. It's ilenviro.org. And the one thing that you're
ilenviro.org.
Yep, ilenviro.org. And the one thing I want your listeners to take away, we have a lot of take action items where you can very easily contact your legislator on our website, and that is the most important. It matters so much.
It does. Make those mm-hmm. phone calls. If you really are concerned about us, sometimes one phone call can swing the deal.
When I'm out lobbying, legislators very often say to me, oh, I heard about that from a constituent. Talk to me more. And that's my in, and I need that. You
awesome.
Know?
All right. Thank you. Hang out. I may need you to fill some time here. Okay. It's my favorite time of year in Chicago. Next time you're walking downtown along the Chicago River, keep an eye out for the Fish Hotel. On the south side of the river at Dearborn and Wacker, this floating garden was designed and built by WRD Environmental for Friends of the Chicago River. Tell you what, anybody listening, goes down there, takes a decent picture of the Fish Hotel, and sends it to me. I'll put it on the website, and I'll give you a prize. How's that? I'm serious. You know, maybe a subscription, Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, maybe Back to Nature Compost, something like that. Go down and take a photo of the Fish Hotel. They check in and they check out. The Fish Hotel welcomes aquatic visitors to a stretch of river that otherwise isn't very hospitable to them, with very little shade and with sides of concrete and steel instead of natural shoreline. Watch for a variety of fish, butterflies, dragons, herons, even an occasional muskrat in this oasis of floating nature. To create the first known and award-winning Fish Hotel, WRD drew on its sustainable roots. The habitat features locally sourced native plants as well as materials that are recycled, biodegradable, and energy efficient. For sustainable landscape and fishscape solutions, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Just got another tweet going back to the whole Department of the Environment thing. Somebody tweeted me just now. Says, and of course, Jennifer says, you know, he's Rich Rodriguez has done some good things, but the tweet I just got was, the dude gets fired from CTA but promised something else, so he throws him Department of the Environment? Question mark. Interesting point. All right. let's, a tip from the carrot trees. Yeah, let's go there. And look who's in the studio. She's here. Oh, yay. Here's a tip. We have stories to tell. Here's a tip from the carrot trees. There's no time of the year when we're safe from storms in this part of the country. So if you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. Why? They have 24-hour emergency service. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years and shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
If you love shopping for plants, you've got to check out the Monrovia Boutique at Sid's Greenhouses. It's an exciting way to shop for an extensive variety of Monrovia plants, plus outdoor living products like arbors, pottery, gazing globes, and garden benches. And they're all arranged to provide ideas on how to combine plants, create interesting containers, set up outdoor living spaces, and to identify great specimen plants. It's sort of like going into a department store where you can find clothes of a specific designer in one area. The Monrovia Boutique at Sid's Greenhouses is a great place for every gardener to find distinctive, high-quality plants that will inspire. Sid's, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hazard Boulevard. They're open Monday through Saturday until 8 p.m. Let Sid's and Monrovia help make your beautiful gardens come alive. And remember, when you're done planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to Sid's for recycling, or you can pick up donated pots for yourself for use in your own home garden.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable Food Fundamentals is sponsored in part by Pearl Valley Eggs. Support an Illinois family farm that does it right. Insist on Pearl Valley Eggs where you shop.
And on Sustainable Food Fundamentals, brought to you by Pearl Valley Organics, the woman, the legend, the speeder. What did, were you speeding or did you go through a light?
I might have been speeding.
How, were you running a little behind?
I got lost.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You could have called us. We would, maybe.
I don't want to let you down, Mike.
Am I that intimidating?
No, oh. You're that important.
Oh, yeah. And she brought gifts, too. That's LaManda Joy. And we're going to talk to you about the name thing after the show. LaManda Joy brought me seeds for my own community garden. You might not know this because I haven't talked about this much on the air, but I'm putting one together on my block. I mean, not just me, people in my block. And it's going to be very different from yours. LaManda Joy is part of the Peterson Garden Project, which has 157 plots up at Peterson and Campbell, on the north, kind of northwest side. And, you know, went to the aldermen and you had meetings and signed people up and built real and got, you know, donations and all, and probably your 501c3 or something like that, and probably just all really organized. We're just going to throw some dirt down and go.
Okay.
In my neighborhood, because, see, we're not in the fancy neighborhood like you are. We're in the really nasty neighborhood. And but I'm working at it, and we did contact the guy who owns the lot, and we said, hey, all right, dude, you're not going to sell it, you know, because he thinks he's going to sell it tomorrow.
Right.
It ain't going to happen because he's I can't commit to 2 years. I might sell it tomorrow. Oh, okay, fine. We'll set up something that you can bulldoze in a heartbeat. But it's not going to happen for like 10 years.
No.
And we're not even using we're doing raised beds because you have to because of all the lead in the soil, which
right.
I found out and I talked about in my show last week, and we're going to do a soil. And by the way, when I talked earlier about doing a soil segment on this show,
people got so excited.
They did.
They want the
I'm
dirt
excited.
On dirt.
It's
they
important.
They want the dirt on dirt.
My God. You know, you think nobody cares about that, but cool. We're going to do it. So I think early in June, just going to get some soil people in here, and we're going to talk about that. So we're doing ours. We're not even going to use the frames, unless somebody lays some lumber on me.
You're just stacking it, Woodrow gardening?
Yeah, we're just going to do the rows, and raise them up. Cobb Connection did that, and it seems to work pretty well. We can make it neat. We're going to get mulch, and we got all kinds of plants and flowers already, and you just brought more. LaManda Joy brought me Swiss chard, three kinds of Swiss chard, five colors silver beet, Ford Hook Giant, and Ruby Red rhubarb. It's not a rhubarb. It's actually a chard, but it looks like a rhubarb.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and she brought cookies. These aren't made out of eggplant, are they?
No, but Zan was sad because she forgot to give me her eggplant bread to bring you.
Yeah. Well, you have to do it another time, Zan. So here we are, and have you stopped sweating and you calmed down a little bit?
Your
heart stopped racing?
Well, my heart's racing, but I'm calm.
Okay. Zen-like.
Zen.
Yes. Awakened America, Saturdays, 10 a.m., Chicago's Progressive Talk, be Zen. But you can be Zen in a garden and even with 157 plots, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that is just such an amazing feat. You have to look back a year later and go, how did I do this?
You know, it's a coincidence, but yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the groundbreaking. So a year ago today, the garden didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, it was on P.L. and Smith Garden Home. He came out last summer, and they showed it on the day of our anniversary, our groundbreaking anniversary, which is fun. It was a great experience. You know, we're looking for more places to do what you're doing, you know, private property gardens that may not last forever.
Yeah.
But we'll teach people how to grow their own food. So we're digging around to find some other ones because we just can't get enough of it.
It's so cool. Now, let me ask you, in terms of numbers or percentage, you know, would you have 144 last year or something? Or have you added to it? Or did
no.
you have, you still had it?
We didn't add to it. We
So that's what you had?
It
okay,
out.
So percentage of gardens that got neglected?
I'd say about a quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
That big?
You know, it's
high.
Pretty typical. When I was doing all my Victory Garden research, they said the same thing. You know, it's about a quarter of it. People are more enthusiastic than, you know, they have the time for. But what we did is we would harvest the stuff and take it to food pantries, so it got used anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, that's we were talking with KAM Isaiah Israel on the South Side a few weeks ago. They're in Hyde Park, and that's one of the things they do. Their mission is there's a special term for it. And they go around and they harvest the stuff that gets neglected, that gets planted, but is never harvested.
Right, right.
That's a great, if you go to just past shows there, you could probably find that, Mark. I forget what the term is called. I love that idea. You know, if somebody plants something and they forget about it, well, it's still probably good.
Well, it also gives – we have a lot of service learning kids that come from Mather High School and other high schools,
mm-hmm.
and so that gives them something to do too.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to work with the food instead of just weeding, which is always needs to be done in the community areas.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them something to do too.
And this week, of course, you're having your big benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So excited.
It's the big swing party, which I am going to be the MC for. Tell us a little bit about it. It's in the Ravenswood area, I see.
Yes, it's going to be at Architectural Artifacts, which is an amazing, I guess you could think of it as a reuse, recycle type place.
You know,
sort of
I think I've been there. I think I was to an event there before.
It's beautiful. They have a lot of, you know, when they tear down old Chicago buildings, they go in and save the balusters and the fireplaces and the railings and all that. Mm-hmm. So the whole building's full of these beautiful, amazing architectural artifacts. And they have an event space. Mm-hmm. And the owner was really kind to let us use the space as a donation. So they're wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be there. We're going to have Joel Patterson of the Modern Sounds, who's incredible.
We should have had Joel Patterson in the Modern. I should have played some of that today. I should have gotten a CD or something. That would have been cool.
Oh, well, they're so great. Well, you'll get a chance to
hear them. They don't have anything on YouTube, do they? Go.
They probably do.
Take a quick look. Joel Patterson's in the Modern Sounds.
Yeah.
Joel Patterson?
Joel Patterson in the Modern Sounds.
All right. Maybe people know about them. And it's all going to benefit Peterson Garden Project. What are you using those funds for?
Well, we really want to figure out a way to teach people how to grow their own food and help with this model of finding what I call pop-up victory gardens, like what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be long-term green space. It's not meant to be a forever community garden. It's meant to, for a short time, let people have a community, learn how to grow their own food, et cetera. So we're going to use the funds for that. And, you know, we're still working on our documentary, which tells the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How's that going on? Because they started filming it last year, and it takes money. It takes time. It's a hard thing to do.
It definitely does. Well, it's, you know, we take a break over the winter because there's not much to be filming. But let's see, June 1st, we're going to be doing some oral histories, video histories of people that remember Victory Gardening in Chicago when they were kids.
Oh, that's great. And if you haven't been following my show for a while, last year, LaManda was on and talked about, you do talks on the history of Victory Gardens in Chicago, especially considering that spot is where there was a real World War II Victory Garden.
Right.
That's one of the really terrific things about what you're doing over there is recreating it. Okay, hang on a second. Get some business out of the way and we need to give away some ticks.
Yes.
Okay. How many think you can afford to give away?
Mm.
You think about that while I do this. Now, here's a real quote from a real person who used Bobex deer repellent. I finally saw my daylilies. I think that about says it all. You need to know that deer daylilies are bonbons and tulips. Well, don't even think about planting tulips if you have deer in the neighborhood, unless you have Bobex in your arsenal, that is. Bobex will give your bonbons, your daylilies, a chance to survive, protecting them from critters like deer, rabbits, groundhogs, squirrels, and chipmunks. How? Bobex steers grazers away from the plants using both the odor and taste of meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. There's plenty of information about Bobex products and how to use them at Bobex.com. All Bobex products are environmentally safe. You're not going to find it in the big box stores, only at your local independent garden center. You can find Bobex products at Ferraro Garden Spot in Northbrook, Illinois, Sid's Greenhouse in Palos Hills, Seasons Garden Center in Alton, Illinois. And remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Looking to give one mother of a boost to your flowers, trees, shrubs, or vegetables, and it's not even Mom's Day. Bring in Dr. Earth's probiotic Motherland All-Purpose Planting Mix. The blend is chock full of organic ingredients like forest humus and aloe vera and yucca extracts. Motherland Planting Mix is excellent for raised beds and is a perfect protective cover for seeds. It will improve soil drainage in clay soils, and when used as a mulch, it will lock in moisture and control those weeds. Dr. your earth with Dr. Earth. 35 million satisfied customers can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. And, you know, while you're at it, you might want to check out Milo Seamus' new book, Healthy Garden, Healthy You. Are we ready to roll and try this? We're flying blind here. We found Joel Patterson and the Modern Sounds on YouTube. Let's roll it, Mark.
Jazz act, live music.
But Al has money, he makes things nobody's fool. Little Joe, Little Joe.
They are hip. They are hep and rockin' and cool. That's that. That's the sound. So here's what we're going to do. Lamanda says we got three pairs of tickets to give away to. Wait. I want the official title because I know that you guys have. It's a long official title, and it's called "Swing into Spring 2011," a fundraiser for the Peterson Garden Project. And as we said, the theme is retro, and we are not talking 1980s, kids, okay? Well, you know, some of these kids will go, oh, man, it's so retro. It's Bon Jovi.
Someone came up to me once and said, have you heard of a band called the Eurythmics? I wanted to punch him in the throat.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, wait a second. Well, see, now you got me going here. You don't happen to mean by any chance.
Well, I was born. Sinner, I was born from original sin.
In honor of all the people who quit their jobs for the rapture yesterday. Yeah. That's the Eurythmics. Oh, so retro. we're going to give away three pairs of tickets to the first three callers. That's as simple as that. 773-838-9278. So you can go to Swing into Spring 2011, a fundraiser for the Peterson Garden Center at Architectural Artifacts at 4235 North Ravenswood. It's really a cool place. Not only am I going to MC, Diane Ott Wheatley, founder of Seed Savers Exchange, is going to be there. As we said, Joel Patterson and the Modern Sounds. Dance performances by, is it Cartier?
Cartier Collective.
Cartier Collective. And swing dance lessons from Jive Rock. I won't mind taking those.
It's going to be fun.
That will be cool. So first three callers, 773-838-9278. Look at the lines. You know, when I give away free stuff, you're there. When I ask for questions, where are you? Sorry. Don't mean to beat up on my listeners. I love my listeners. What are we missing here, LaMann?
Let me tell you about the food.
Okay.
City Provisions is catering it for us, but we're also having some of our chefs from the garden do things, so I'm going to read you a little bit from the menu.
You got 30 seconds.
Oh, curried vegetable samosas, barbecue pulled pork sliders, vegan dumplings filled with mushrooms and julienne vegetables, portobello sopes with cumin crema.
I don't even know what that is. Go ahead.
Sriracha deviled eggs.
No eggplant, I hope.
No eggplant.
Okay.
French macaroons, mini whoopie pies. Red velvet cake. Berry crumble bars, chocolate cookies, shortbread buttons. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Let me just play this. Oh, here we go.
Beans and cornbread. Sustainable Food Fundamentals is brought to you in part by Healthy Grow Lawn and Garden Food, part of the Pearl Valley Organics family. Learn more at healthygrow.com.
So, Lamanda Joy, I will be there Thursday. What time does everything start?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock goes to 11 or so. You can dance the night away. You can learn to dance. Support a great cause. You know, as we said, this is Sustainable Food Fundamentals. Nothing is more sustainable than a local garden in the city of Chicago. And when we get off the air, I'm grabbing you, taking you aside, get some tips for my guerrilla garden going on in Logan Square.
I'm very excited for you, Mike.
It's going to be fun. I can't grow vegetables in my own yard now because it got so much lead, so we got to do it someplace else. That's it for today. Mark's taking your phone calls, but as we always say on the show at the end, go green or go home.